Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Well, today is going to be a little bit different for us. If this is your first time, we think it's so awesome that you're here, and we would love to have you back. The reason today is a little bit different is typically we do a sermon series, and that is one message is a part of a bigger story. If you look at our sermon series, it's kind of like a book, and each week is a chapter in that book. And typically we do a whole series, package everything around the series, but today we're breaking the script. We're taking a break from that to talk about grief. And there's a specific reason that we're talking about grief, and for some of you, it's the reason actually why you're in church today. This past weekend, it started with a Bethel High School student who was walking with her mom to church, and a car jumps the curb and hits her, and she dies instantly. That same weekend, there are three teenagers who are coming home from homecoming from Tabb High School, and they hit a tree, and they're gone. They've passed away. They were tragically killed in the accident. And so there are some, and you're here today because you're looking for answers or because you are grieving. Now, I know that not everyone was impacted by those stories. Not everyone knew those four students or knew someone that knew them. Some of you are here, and you're grieving, and it has something to do from your past. Maybe it was a family member that died. Maybe you had the just horrible circumstances of having to bury a kid yourself. Maybe it is because of a lost one or some tragic thing that happened to you. I know that there are some here, you've experienced tragedy, you've experienced grief and loss way before this past weekend. But there are some of us today who our lives have not allowed us to experience grief yet. And it wasn't until this past weekend when we were faced with the real truth of we're not invincible. And we were faced with the truth that sometimes bad things do happen. And sometimes bad things happen even to people that we love and are close to us, and it's leaving people with some questions. And so today, what I want to do is I want to try to wrestle with grief. I want to try to practically talk about grief and give some answers. What you need to know is that there is no playbook for grief. There is no like, hey, if you just do these three things, you'll be through it and you'll be happy again. And there's no like, here's a quick fix, or just take this pill, or let me just Jedi mind trick you to believe that you're no longer hurting. There's nothing quick that fixes it. There is no playbook for what do you do when in one day, coming back from homecoming, three high school students die. There's no playbook for when a girl is walking to church with her mom and she's killed in a tragic accident. What do? I will say that I've been incredibly impressed with the school administration of Bethel High School and Tabb High School and all the schools in Tabb, as well as York County School Board. It's been amazing that in the midst of tragedy, so many people have come together. And I went to the prayer vigil at Tabb, where over 1,000 people gathered. And it was amazing that on a public school ground, there was scripture read and there was prayer. Hundreds of students gathered around Bethel High School to mourn the loss of their student. And there's no playbook for these principals or these administrations on how do we help students. But I got to walk the halls of Tabb High School this past Monday. And as I walked the halls, what I saw is that they were saying, hey, we're not going to have class today. We're just going to mourn. We're just going to cry. We're just going to be there. And I was able to walk the halls and actually hug students that were crying and hurting from this. So I want you to know that I am proud of the school administration, but I want to know you to know today that I can't quickly fix grief. I can't quickly fix pain. In fact, in the 35 minutes that I have together, it's not like if you're grieving, at the end of this, you're going to be like, okay, all my problems are solved. It is not a quick fix. It's not a quick fix. There is no playbook. But what I want to do is I want to try to give you some practical answers and some practical things to do. If you are grieving, I want to give you some practical insight to know what can I do? How can I move through this process? If you're not grieving, I want to give you some practical answers on how do you help those that are. And if you're here today and you would say, I don't know anyone that's grieving, or you would say, I'm not grieving, then I want to just tell you, without trying to put fear in your life, just wait, it's coming. Because this world is a broken place, and no one gets through this earth unscathed. No one. At some point, we face tragedy. And so it brings all sorts of questions, and today I want to give a little bit of insight into that. Our culture tells us that we have to move through grieving quickly. And maybe you felt this. Maybe if you grieved in the past, 6 months later, 8 months, maybe a year later, you had people come up to you and tell you, hey, just get over it. It's time to move on with your life. And if you've been through grieving, you know it just doesn't work that way. Sometimes it takes 6 months. Sometimes it takes 6 years. Sometimes it could take a lifetime to get through grief. Our culture doesn't like grief very well. And the truth is we don't like grief. We are a culture who is based off comfort. And because of that, we often avoid the grieving process. We don't like to go through pain and we don't like to feel sorrow. So oftentimes we just bury grief deep down inside. Grief, as painful as it is incredibly necessary for our healing. Grief cleanses the anguish from our souls, and it sets us back on the path of life so that we can dance. If you're here today and you're grieving, you don't feel like dancing, but I'm telling you, dancing will come again, but it is not through skipping over grief, it is through walking through grief. Grief we don't like to talk about, we like to ignore it, but the truth is some times, in fact, in a lot of times, grief is good. You remember the cartoon? It was also a comic strip. It was called Peanuts. It had Charlie Brown and Snoopy. I don't know why they called it Peanuts. Like, there's no peanuts in it. There is Snoopy. There is Charlie Brown. They should have called it one of those two characters. But you remember Charlie Brown? He had a catchphrase that he would say often. Anyone remember his catchphrase? Good grief. We don't pair those words together very often. The truth is that the tragedies that have happened are not good, but grief is good. In fact, if you get anything from this, I want you to hear that grief is good. And so would you just humor me and would you say Charlie Brown's famous words? Would you say good grief on the count of three? One, two, three.
Good grief.
Good grief. Grief is good. The tragedy is bad, but grief is the thing that God has given us to get through the bad emotions that we feel. Grief is the thing that God has given us so that we can actually find healing and dance on the other side. The unfortunate thing is way too many of us don't like to feel grief, so we ignore it or we bury it deep down. And Jesus actually had some insight into grief, and he actually had something that was a radical thing that he said to his culture, and I hope it gives us some insight and hope today. It comes from Matthew 5:4, and at Next Level, we want to honor the text, and we do that by reading it nice and loud. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet. And we're going to read this verse. When you get to the reference, which is Matthew 5:4, we have a little bit of fun. And where you see the two dots, it's called a colon, but that's weird to say in church. So instead of saying colon, we say dot, dot, and just have a little bit of fun with it. So you'll get there in just a few seconds. It'll be awesome. Will you guys read the verse with me nice and loud? It says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Matthew 5, dot, dot, 4. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. God, we do come before you, and we ask that you would just mend our broken hearts. We ask that you would help us. If we're not hurting, God, would you help us to be intentional and to look for those who are, and that we would be light in darkness. For those that are hurting, God, we ask that you would just speak past our hurt and our pain, and that you would speak to our hearts today, and that you would bring some healing. We thank you for what you're going to do. And God, I just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, don't be seated quite yet. Remain standing for just a second because I want us to do something. I want us to memorize this text. And there's a reason why I want us to memorize it. Scripture memory is so important for our lives. The reason it's important is because a week from now, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, you're going to forget about this sermon. But when you memorize Scripture, God has a way of bringing it back to you when you need it the most. Scripture is incredibly powerful, and there's so many times in my life where I had a Scripture memorized, and I didn't even know I had it memorized, but when I went through a difficult season or I went through a circumstance, God brings that verse up to me, and he brings healing to my life. And so I want to try to do that with this verse. If you're not hurting now, you're going to have it memorized for a day and time when you are hurting. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to memorize it. I actually think this is kind of cool. In fact, today you might have some friends who come to you and they say, "Hey, what did you do today?" And you'll say, "I went to church." And they say, "Oh, that's cool. Was it good?" And you'll say, "Yes. Actually, we memorized the text." And they're going to say, "Oh my goodness, that's impressive. Wow, that's next level." And you're going to say, "Yes, it is." So it is a proven educational fact that motions help us memorize things. So I have some cheesy, corny motions to help us memorize this verse. They're going to come on the screen for you, and I'll teach them to you. So the verse starts by saying, blessed. Blessed are those. And so we're going to do this motion where we make it rain. Just make it rain money. Just universal symbol for blessed. Blessed are those who mourn. We're going to make little tears. You can do both fists if you want to. Blessed are those who mourn. For, we're going to hold up four fingers. For, they will be comforted. Give yourself just a big hug. Big hug. Matthew 5 dot dot 4. Okay? So let's do it again, and then we'll see if we have it. So you ready? Blessed are those who mourn. Whoops. For they will be comforted. Matthew 5 dot dot 4. I royally jacked that up, so let's do that. Let's do it again. Ready? Here we go. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Matthew 5 dot dot 4. Okay. Do you feel confident, or do you want one more run through with it? One more. Okay. Here we go. It's not a competition, but the 8 a.m. had it by this point. I'm just saying. Just saying. All right. Let's do it one more time. Ready? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Matthew 5 dot dot 4. Okay, now we're going to take the cues off the screen and see if you guys have it memorized, all right? Because this is going to stick with you. One day you're going to be thinking through these motions. It's going to help you, I'm telling you. All right, so let's try it. I'm nervous. Let's try. All right, ready? Here we go. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Matthew 5 dot dot 4. Awesome. Give yourselves a hand. Now you can have a seat. Now you can have a seat. All right. Now, I hope that these motions help you memorize this. I hope that you'll think about this verse, especially if you're struggling right now with grief. This is something that I think will help you. But in order to understand the point behind it, we need to dig into what Jesus was saying. When Jesus said this phrase, it was not in English. It would have been, in fact, it was written in Greek. And so the original language where we translate the word blessed, or if you grew up in the traditional church, it was blessed. The word that we translate blessed is the Greek word makarios. Makarios. Would you just humor me and say makarios on the count of three? One, two, three. Makarios. Makarios is a Greek word. It means supremely blessed. By extension, fortunate, well-off, blessed, or what's that last word?
Happy.
Happy. This idea of makarios had three different uses in the Greek culture. The very first use was this idea that the only people who really experience makarios are the gods. Maybe you remember in high school learning about the Greek gods. The Greek gods were a bit dysfunctional. They had some issues, but it was seen that the Greek gods, they lived in wealth. They lived in prosperity. They didn't have to deal with all the stuff that we deal with. So today in the Christian world, we believe we only have one God, but in the Greek culture, they believed in lots of gods. In fact, maybe you remember learning about Apollos or Ares or Zeus or my personal favorite, the god of thunder, Thor. This idea of Makarios was only the gods experience true happiness. There was another way, though, that the Greek culture used this word, and it was used for those who had passed away. The idea was you may suffer on this world, but once you pass away, you go to the afterlife, and when you go to the afterlife, you experience Makarios. That is, you experience this happiness, this blessing, because you no longer have to worry about the problems of this world. There was a third way that that phrase started to get used in the Greek culture. And the third way was for those who were rich and famous. So it was this idea that if you ever achieve fame and if you have fortune on this world, then you've become like the gods. You've achieved makarios. Which, in fact, we have an artistic picture of some of the famous women of wealth from the Greek culture. These women in history were known as Kardashians. And you'll notice in the image, there's a woman who is sewing, and back then they didn't have smartphones, so she is sewing the word hashtag Makarios on the... Thank you. appreciate that loud laughter. All right, this is incredibly important to understand because in Jesus' day, Macarius was something that the vast majority of people couldn't relate to. They knew about it. It was familiar to them. They talked about it. But the average person had no idea what Macarius actually felt like. And Jesus teaches a sermon. We call it the Sermon on the Mount, where hundreds of people gathered around him on the side of this mountain. And he gives essentially a TED Talk. He gives a bunch of mini sermons that aren't even connected to each other. And he just connects a whole bunch of things. And he starts this whole sermon off by saying, "Blessed are those." Now, the crowd is like, okay, we've heard this word, Macarius, before. I'm sure Jesus is going to say, blessed are those who pass away and die, or blessed are those who are the gods, or blessed are those who receive riches and fame. But Jesus said, Macarius are those who mourn. Jesus flips the script on an incredibly famous phrase in their culture. Now, today, we don't like to think about mourning as a blessing. In fact, we want to get rid of mourning. We don't like mourning. We don't like grieving. We don't like sadness at all. But would you just for a second, would you just think through the blessing of grieving? Maybe you remember, maybe you were alive when September 11th happened. And that was a horrible tragedy. I was on staff at Liberty Baptist Church, and for 3 weeks after the tragedy, the prayer services at Liberty were absolutely packed. So the tragedy was not a blessing. But the result of the tragedy and the grieving led to packed prayer services. You want to know what happened 2-3 months after? When people got over the grieving, the prayer services became empty again. There is something about grieving that has potential to bring us into the presence of God if we allow it to. Now, some people push God away. Some people say, I don't want to have anything to do with God during grieving. But many people say, I'm hurting. Even though I've ignored God for a long time, even though I don't really have a relationship with God, in this mourning, in this grief, I will get into the presence of God. And so Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. Because when you mourn, when you struggle, when you suffer, you put yourself in a place where you can feel closer to God than when you're blessed. Isn't it true? Just think about your own life. When everything is going great, isn't it easy to forget about God? It is for me. It's when life gets hard that I say, God, where are you? God, help me. But when everything goes my way and when the finances are flowing and I don't struggle, it is so easy for me to take my eyes off of God. So that reason, suffering's not good. We don't enjoy the pain. We don't enjoy the trial. But for that reason, Jesus would say, blessed are those who mourn. Because you can experience God in a way that no one else can in that moment. Blessed are those who mourn. Jesus said a second part of this. Before we get to it, I want to share you the big idea. And the big idea for today is simply this. Don't waste your pain. Don't waste your pain. I wish that I could take away everybody's pain. I hate pain. I hate suffering. I hate tragedy. I wish I could take it away. But before we get to the second part of this verse, we just need to understand that according to Jesus, based off his understanding, the tragedy that you went through, that may not have been his plan. He definitely did not cause it. I don't think that he caused the tragedy that so many of us are weeping from this past weekend. It was not like he directed it. Blessed are those who mourn, though. So don't waste your pain. And if you're here today and you'd say, hey, I'm struggling with faith, can I just tell you that in this struggle, if you go to the God of pain, if you go to the God who understands pain, if you go to the God who experienced suffering himself, you can be drawn closer to him. And come 3 weeks later, 4 months later, a year later, when everyone else has moved on from the tragedy, if you are closer to God, then you haven't wasted your pain. Don't waste your pain. There's a story of an old rabbi who said to one of his students, he said, in the olden days, there were men who saw the face of God. And one of his students said, well, Rabbi, why don't we see God's face anymore? And the rabbi said to him, because nowadays, no one stoops so low. The truth is, in the midst of tragedy, we actually experience the presence of God in a way that we cannot experience it when things are going well. So Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. But there's a second part of that verse The second part of Matthew 5:4 says, "For they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And this is what is so important about grieving. We don't like to grieve, and we don't like people to see us grieving, so we often bury pain deep inside. But we are not comforted when we bury our pain. We're not comforted when we ignore our pain. We're not comforted when we pretend like everything is good. We are comforted when we understand the blessing of grief. Tragedy is bad, but grief is medicine from God. And until we can embrace that, we won't get through the other side. You ever notice how much our culture hates grieving and hates tears? So much so that when someone cries, what do when we cry? We apologize. We say, "I'm so sorry." Because we think that crying is a sign of weakness. We think grieving is a sign of weakness. We've got to get rid of those myths. I read a while ago that when you cry, it is your soul's way of expressing what is most important to you. So if you cry in front of someone, you don't have to do this, but I don't apologize for my tears. Because if I'm crying, it means I feel safe to share with you what is most important to my soul. So in the midst of crying, don't feel bad about it. Don't pretend like you have to put a brave face on. Mourn. Why? Because blessed are those who mourn. Why? Because they will be comforted. There's some myths about grieving that we need to debunk. There's some myths out there that may have stopped you from grieving. And I want you to know those if you're grieving right now or if you have grieved in the past. These are some things that we need to overcome. There's the myth that says the pain will go away faster if you ignore it. That is not true. Pain does not go away when you ignore it. The only way that pain gets healed is when we expose it, when we talk about it. Here's the fact. Trying to ignore your pain or keep it from surfacing will only make it worse in the long run. For real healing, it is necessary to face your grief and actively deal with it. I know we don't want to do this, but in order to heal, you've got to face the grief and not bury it deep inside. Here's another myth. Maybe you've heard it. It's important to be strong in the face of loss. Maybe you've even felt that. Here's the fact. Feeling sad, frightened, or lonely is a normal reaction to loss. Crying doesn't mean you are weak. You don't need to protect your family or friends by putting on a brave front. Showing your true feelings can help them, and it can help you. Here's another myth. If you don't cry, it means you aren't sorry about the loss. Here's the fact. Crying is a normal response to sadness, but it's not the only one. Those who don't cry may feel the pain just as deeply as others. They may simply have another way of showing it. So if you're here and you're like, "You know what, I'm sad, but I haven't cried," don't beat yourself up. Don't feel bad about it. You're grieving in a different way. Here's a myth. Grieving should last about a year. Here's a fact. There is no specific time frame for grieving. How long it takes differs from person to person. So if you're grieving, share it with someone safe and don't apologize that a year has gone by, 2 years has gone by, 3 years has gone by. Just share it. "Hey, I'm struggling with this." Share it with a safe person. One more myth. Moving on with your life means forgetting about your loss. Here's the fact. Moving on means you've accepted your loss. There's a difference. Accepting is not the same thing as forgetting. You can move on with your life and keep the memory of someone or something you've lost as an important part of you. In fact, as we move through life, these memories can become more and more integral to defining the people we are. In order to get on with grief, we've got to accept that something has happened. We've got to accept that there is a loss. But accepting the loss doesn't mean that you forget. Celebrate them. Talk about them. Enjoy your memories. Hold on to the good memories that you had. Don't forget about them, but accept it. I love the quote by Richard Rohr. He says, "If you don't transform your pain, you will always transmit it." And the truth is that because we don't like dealing with grief, we often bury it deep inside. But if you don't transform it, if you don't deal with the grief that's inside of you, you will transmit that on someone else. And I say this phrase often at Next Level, but hurt people hurt people. And if someone in your life is hurting, the issue is the reason they are hurting you is because they haven't dealt with what's going on inside of their own soul. When we are hurting, we take it out on others. We hurt other people. There is no excuse for hurting someone else. But I'm telling you, you will not heal until you deal with the pain inside. Until you deal with the grief. Grieving is the process God uses to bring us to a place of wholeness. Grieving is his great gift to us. It is a necessary part of the journey and of healing. And we've got to accept that because grief is not the enemy. The tragedy is the enemy, but grief is not the enemy. Good grief. So how do we grieve? Well, you might be familiar with this. Maybe you've even thought of this. Maybe you've researched it. But there are 5 stages of grief. And I want to go over these quickly because I think it can help you to understand how to move through grief. The 5 stages of grief, the first one that they give is denial. And denial says, this can't be happening to me. It's when we just ignore the facts. Surely this didn't happen in York County, Virginia. Surely this didn't happen to a high school student at Bethel. Surely this didn't happen. My pain, I can't believe they're gone. It's denial. Number 2 is anger. Anger says, why is this happening? The second part, though, is so crucial. It asks, who is to blame? And I want to camp out here just for a second. When you are grieving, anger is a natural part of it. And oftentimes when people grieve, they get angry with God. Please hear me on this. God is big enough to handle your anger. You will not heal if you keep the anger inside. I think we should be respectful to God. I think we should honor God. But I'm telling you, he is big enough to handle your anger. If you don't get that anger out, it will corrode you from the inside. And if you read through scripture, you see often there are times where people raise a fist at God. They are angry. They are mad. Even though it's not God's fault, they are angry. It's a natural part of the healing process. But watch in scripture, because at one moment they get angry with God, and then after it comes out of their mouth, their fist turns to praise. Don't hold on to the anger. Get it out. Even if it means yelling at God. Because God's big enough to handle your temper tantrum. Grief is a difficult thing, but I'm telling you, way too many people hold on to bitterness and anger, and they say, oh, I'm angry at God. Oh, I don't want to deal with that. And it just corrupts everything inside of them. You got to deal with that anger. The next one is bargaining. Make this not happen, and in return, I will fill in the blank. God, if you just take away this pain, if you just bring them back, then I'll never skip church again. Make this not happen. Depression is another phase. Depression says, I'm too sad to do anything. And I want to make sure that you hear this. Depression is different than grieving. Grieving is the natural process that we go through, that we need to go through. Depression, though, is when you start feeling a sadness that just won't leave. Depression is when the things that you used to love, you no longer love doing. Depression is saying, I can't get out of bed. And you need to identify, this is move past grieving and move to depression. If you're saying, I just can't go to my job anymore. If you're saying, I don't like those hobbies. I don't want to talk to anyone. That's depression. And that does not go away on your own. Depression, the way that it leaves is through community. The way that we feel better, it's through community. It's having others come alongside of us and hold us and put their arm around us and tell us they're praying for us. And if you don't talk about this depression to someone, it's just going to stay lingering inside of you. Depression is different than grieving, but it can be a part of the 5 stages of grief. And the last one is acceptance. Acceptance says, I'm at peace with what happened. I'm at peace with what happened. Not that I liked what happened. Not that I'm thankful for what happened. I'm just at peace. It's now my new normal. I now can start to move on because I just know that they're gone and they're not coming back. Now here's something interesting I found about the 5 stages of grief. You do not have to go through each stage of grief in order to heal. So if you're here today and you're like, well, I haven't felt this stage, but I have felt that stage, that's okay. Grief is not like a checklist where you just say, okay, now I'm angry, I'm moving on. Check that off. Grief is more like a roller coaster. Where some days you have high days and then other days you have low days. Here's the key thing about a roller coaster, though. A roller coaster keeps moving. And the key to grief is you've got to keep moving. On a low day, it won't stay forever if you keep moving. But you got to take a step through the grief. You got to take a step towards healing. And you'll get up to a high day again. You do not have to go through each stage of grief in order to heal. So how do we deal with the grieving process? How do we deal with it? How do we even move through these phases? How do we even start to heal? Here are some practical ways to deal with the grieving process. Number one, acknowledge your pain. Acknowledge your pain. Acknowledge your pain. I'm hurting. I'm sad. This stinks. Christmas isn't as good as it used to be. I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to explain this to my kids. I used to live a sheltered life where just I thought everything was great and I was an optimist and I'm feeling some difference here. I'm struggling. Acknowledge your pain. Number two, accept that grief can trigger many different and unexpected emotions. One of the emotions we just talked about, one of the phases is anger. And one of the tricky things about grief is oftentimes it expresses itself in another emotion. So if you find yourself extra angry, instead of dealing with just the anger or focusing on the anger, you got to get back and focus with the grief. Because the grief often will cause us to get angry at things that we used to not be angry at. And so if you find yourself yelling at your kids, fussing out your spouse, if you find yourself kicking the dog, if you find yourself, it's okay to kick the cat, but don't kick the dog. Don't. Just kidding about cats. Cats are great. If you find yourself, though, angry and the season of anger is not passing, that's a part of grief. And you've got to deal with that. You've got to deal with that in a healthy way, and you need to understand, maybe I'm so angry and they're not the problem. Maybe it's not my kids. Maybe it's not my spouse. Maybe it's because I got some grief that I'm not dealing with. Number three, understand that your grieving process will be unique to you. Understand that your grieving process will be unique to you. You don't have to apologize to someone because you're not grieving the same way as they are. Every person is unique and different, and it's okay. Number four, seek out face-to-face support from people who care about you. Please hear me on this. Not everybody can handle your grief, but somebody can. So find a safe person. Find them and grieve with them. I know that a part of our story is that my wife and I were told by doctors we couldn't have children, and for 8 years we prayed, and lots of Christians prayed for us to be able to get pregnant, and we ended up calling the Jones Institute and setting up an appointment for in vitro fertilization. And I remember the day before our appointment, my wife wakes up and says, I just have this weird feeling that I should take a pregnancy test. And I was like, okay, take one, like, whatever. And she takes a pregnancy test, and it's positive. And this was like the miracle we'd been praying for, 8 years of prayers, and it was such a joyous occasion, and it was such a miracle that it didn't dawn on me that we might lose this baby. So at the 8-week mark, when we went to go hear the heartbeat, and they said, there is no heartbeat, I said to the nurse, oh, are we just early? We need to come back next week to hear the heartbeat. And she says, no, hon, your baby's not here anymore. And it crushed us. And after days of just crying, like grief, just like, God, where are you? Here's what we found. People that loved us kept leaving us alone. And we had lots of people who dropped meals off at our doorstep and lots of people who, you know, would send texts or send messages. But on day three of grieving, I said to my wife, let's just throw a party. I just need to laugh again. Let's just call people that are funny and get them here. Because people don't want to be around our grief, but I need to be around people. And so if you've gone through grief, you've got to seek and find someone, even if that someone is a counselor, you got to find someone to get face to face with and say, hey, I got some emotions, I got some stuff, can you help me deal with this? It takes face to face contact with others in order to get through grief. Number five, support yourself emotionally by taking care of yourself physically. When we feel grief, we want to get over it so quickly, we often go to easy answers, easy quick fixes that actually end up becoming part of the problem. And if you find yourself in grief running to things like alcohol, drugs, or food, it's not solving the problem, it's helping you cope. But in the end, it creates a bigger problem. So when you're going through grief, make sure that you're doing your best to take care of yourself. Now, if you're here today and you would say, okay, I'm not grieving, but I have some people in my life that are grieving. I have some people that are hurting, and I just don't know what to do. I want to give you some practical keys on how do you help a loved one who is grieving. Here are some things that you can do right now. You can start this today. Number one, don't let fears about saying or doing the wrong thing stop you from reaching out. Oftentimes, because we don't like sadness and we don't like grieving and we're worried about saying the wrong thing, we just avoid them. But let me tell you, if you love them, they know you love them. And I think if they love you, they'll give you grace for saying something stupid, even if you didn't mean to. So don't be afraid. Get around them. Hang out with them. Don't let your fear stop you from reaching out. Number two, let your grieving loved one know that you're there to listen. One of the biggest problems that we have is because we don't know how to grieve, we end up giving unsolicited advice. If someone doesn't ask for advice, don't give advice during the grieving process. The best thing you can do when someone is grieving is say, "How can I be here for you?" and then shut up. Sit there and let them cry if they need to cry. Or if they need you to be funny, they need you to tell stories, but find out. Be there for them. And if that means just sitting there in the sadness, then just sit there. Let them know you're here to listen. They don't have to be strong. You're a safe person. Next one is understand that everyone grieves differently and for different lengths of time. Please don't ever tell someone who's grieving it's time to get over it. That's not healthy. And it doesn't help them. Offer to help in practical ways. Can I just give you some insight into grief? For those of us that want to help people when they're grieving, we often say, "Hey, what do you need?" In the moments of grief, they don't know what they need. And answering that question becomes a burden to them. So if you truly want to help them, offer them practical ways to meet their needs. Would it help you if I brought you dinner tonight? They can answer that. No, yes. Would it help you if I paid your bills this month, if I came to your house with your money, not my money, but with your money... Would it help you if I took care of your bills? What errands do you have to run today? Can I run them for you? Can I pick your kids up from school and give you an afternoon by yourself? Here are some ideas that I'm offering. I'm not going to add to your load and you have you tell me what you need. I'm going to offer some practical solutions. And if they say no, respect it and come up with another way that you can practically help. Offer help in practical ways. And the last one that is so crucial is to maintain your support after the funeral. Maintain your support after the funeral. Why is this so important? Because we move on with grieving way before those that have experienced the tragedy have. And in the next 2-3 weeks, there's a lot of us who are going to forget about the sadness that we feel, and we're going to move on with our lives. But there are some people in our community that aren't going to forget about this in 3 weeks. So let me just tell you something practical that I've tried to do. A couple years ago, one of our staff members, her husband, was killed in a home invasion. And after all the hospital and after dealing with the funeral and dealing with all just the tragedy and everything surrounding it, I got in my phone, in my calendar, and I wrote down a reminder to repeat every single year for when her birthday is, when his birthday was, and when their anniversary was. And every year a reminder comes up and I just send her a message. "Hey, today might be tough. I love you." Because 6 years from now, you've moved on, but they haven't. So do something practical. Give yourself a reminder just to say, "Hey, I care for you. Thinking about you. I know today might be tough, but you're not alone." Today, whether you are grieving or you know someone that's grieving, today I want to offer you a little bit of hope. And it comes through something that I read. It was really timely this week. It was a tweet by Timothy Keller. He's a pastor in New York. Timothy Keller said, "The God of the Bible takes our misery and suffering so seriously that he was willing to take it on himself." And if you're here today, I would just offer you this hope that the God that we serve is not a God who is distant from pain. He's a God who's experienced pain. So much so that he looked upon his son who took on the sins of the world and he loved him through it. And so I know that it's tempting to push God away in the midst of grieving, but from my experience, can I just tell you that God is not a God that doesn't understand your pain. He's a God who understands. He understands loss. He understands tragedy. He understands this feeling of it's just not fair. So if you're tempted today to push God away, I want to invite you, please don't waste your pain. Invite God into the process. That takes us to today's win. The win is, if you know someone who is grieving, would you contact them this week and find out what they need? If you're grieving, would you find a safe person to talk to? Don't waste your pain. If you don't know what to do, if you don't know who to talk to, would you talk to one of our pastors on staff today? Find a Christian counselor who can help you. This season in your life is not the end all seasons. And God can use this season to do great things in your life if you don't waste your pain. Will you pray with me? God, we come before you and we don't like suffering. We don't like trials. We don't like tears, God. But we love you. So we invite you into our pain. We invite you into our grieving. And we ask that you would help us in the name of Jesus. For those that are grieving, I do ask that you would hold them and continue to hold them. And for those that know someone that's grieving, God, would you help us to be intentional about pouring into their lives, about loving them well. We thank you for what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.